Hi there. This is lesson five of 10 weeks to transformation. Lesson five is how not to let gossip and hate from others destroy your soul. And I'm going to share with you how I went to a very dark place, and I did almost let gossip and hate from other people destroy my soul. And how I found myself again along the way. So, the first thing I'm going to talk about is just what happened to me. And you may or may not know this. So, pour yourself a coffee or a cup of tea, and I'll just start to unfold. I was always a people pleaser from the time I was a young girl. I really suffered a lot with low self-esteem. And always wanting to try and make people happy in any way that I could. I didn't have a close relationship as much with my father, so I was always seeking male attention, but I was also seeking the approval of women. I felt like my mom was a very hard person to appease, and she had six kids and she had a lot going on in her life, and I love my mom and I have a wonderful relationship with her when she passed. But it was very difficult for me. Because I was always feeling like I was getting attention, but the wrong kind of attention, if that makes sense. My dad was a very hard, challenging person to be raised by, but I was his only daughter. And so he very much nurtured me. He very much loved me. Excuse me. He was very good to me in the sense of me being his only daughter. And I was spoiled. I was six kids. So I was spoiled by him. And so my mom felt like she had to make up for that with my brother and my other siblings. So I really lacked a lot of the attention from my mom because she always thought that my dad was giving it to me. But my dad was not a nurturing so much kind of man. He was very rough and I feared him. He was an alcoholic. He yelled a lot, he screamed a lot. He ruled with an iron fist, and when he just made a look, you were terrified. And I knew that he was abusing my mom, so it was very hard for me to want to be close to a man who felt to me like he was, aggressive and a bit of a monster, to be honest with you. So I had my siblings who were jealous of me, and I always felt like there was this other club. It was my siblings and my mom, and then there was me and my dad. And I was kind of forced to be in the dad club, and I didn't want to be there. But because I did get treated somewhat better from him, it was almost as if they all thought, she was the golden child. And I never felt that way. I always felt like I had to be on the bad guy's team because, he loved me and he was my dad, but I wanted to be on their team. And that continued actually throughout my entire life. I never was someone who drank. Drinking, I had too much energy as a medium. I was actually unable to drink. And even the first time I tried drugs as a 16-year-old girl, smoking a marijuana joint, I just, it was too much for me. I already had a very high elevated energy. So if you added anything to that, it just blew the roof. So, but my family, because of the dysfunction going on in my family, there was a lot of drug and alcohol use by my brothers and the people in my family. Even my mom was an alcoholic, a functioning one, but she was an alcoholic, and my dad. So everyone assumed that because I didn't drink, I didn't use drugs, that I thought I was better. I didn't think I was better. I never compared myself. In fact, I always sort of thought, if I could be cool like them, they would have accepted me in my 20s and, in my 30s. But I was always the one that wasn't invited. And I was a lot to be around, and I had a lot of kids, and I don't know, I just felt like I was the black sheep, I guess, and I was from day one. So I was a people pleaser, and I wanted to make people happy. And when I couldn't make the people in my own family happy, then I wanted to make my friends happy, my husband happy, my children happy. Everybody had to like me because I felt so poorly about my own self that I had convinced myself that if everybody could like me, if I was the perfect housewife and the house was spotless, and if I made my husband the perfect dinner, and if I was the perfect mom, and if I was the perfect friend, and I just gave everything away to everybody, then that would be me filling my cup because people would love me. So even in friendships, when I would meet a friend, I would want to dress like them. I would want to act like them. I would think they were cooler. I was never the cool kid. I had to follow everyone else around to get some of their coolness to rub off on me. I was awkward and tall before I should be, and breasts before I should be, and I wasn't smart. I wasn't beautiful. I was just ordinary, and I didn't want to be ordinary. I wanted to be something. And I thought that that something had to come from outside of myself. Now, fast forward to me getting to a place where I'm getting older. I'm now about 37 years old, 36, 37 years old. And I've figured out that I am a medium. And I don't want to be, but it makes sense to me because if you look at my entire life of everything I've gone through, well, that all adds up. That makes sense. And so as I go through this process, I have a hard time accepting money for readings and letting excuse me, letting people give back to me. That's hard for me because I receive self-worth and joy from giving to other people. So when people try and give me money for a reading, I feel ashamed. I feel like, oh no, don't give me anything. We're good, we're good. And for a long time in the beginning, I was paid with pies and knitted blankets and anything people would drop off. And finally it was Dave who said, listen, Linda, you can't keep doing this. Like, you either have to make this a business or you have to stop. And so when I made it a business, the only way I could do it is I had to have an assistant. She would have to be the middleman. She could take the money. She could then use that money to pay herself. And then guess what? I could give her bonuses and I could treat her really, really well. In fact, oftentimes I treated my friends and my assistants and my employees even better than I treated my own family. True story. Because what does a family do? What do children do? You already have them. That's unconditional love. But I'm constantly seeking approval from other people. So when I film a national television show and people in the world begin to know who I am, that's now on such this large, high level of everyone knowing me. Well, of course, not everybody was going to like me. I mean, you're going to watch somebody on TV and think, oh my God, that woman never shuts up. Or, oh my God, I bet she's a fake. And I think I always handled it really well. If people thought I was a fake or if I wasn't their cup of tea because of their faith or their religion. And I honestly moved through people recognizing me and knowing me and that kind of stuff. It did affect me because I wasn't used to that happening and definitely caused a lot of anxiety, but I think I moved through that time really well. But what I didn't move through was the loss of my mom, and what I didn't move through very well was my life unraveling after the loss of my mom, and even a bit before, as I start to burn out. And as I start to really nosedive, and I had to say no to people. I had to say no to my staff. I had to say no to clients. And I had never done that before. And so when we started putting up boundaries and saying, you know, she can't read this many clients, I hired a very expensive team of lawyers. Because what do I know about the law? And said to them, listen, I'm getting sick and it's unexpected. I don't know when it's going to happen. I just wake up in the morning and I would be throwing up, or I'd be suffering from migraines so bad that I was having vertigo attacks. I could barely walk from one room to the other. I had wheelchairs, I had walkers, I was completely falling apart. And basically, looking back now, what was happening is I was in an MS flare up And I wasn't given the opportunity by myself or by my team to be able to rest. And so it was this, there was never a real rest, like go away, heal, rest, you know, get better, get well. That wasn't an option for me. And so because I was just band-aiding my way along and always telling myself, it's okay, you're fine, you're fine, you'll get better, it's okay, you're fine, which is what I was continuing to do to myself all the time. I never got a break, and everything just continued to compile and compile and compile and compile and compile, and layer by layer by layer by layer. It was like a brick over my head each time. And each time the brick would just push me down even more and more and more and more until eventually I just couldn't get up anymore. And when that started to happen, the gossip and the hate from people started to come. Friends started to leave because Carmel wasn't buying them things anymore and doing things for them. Family members started to turn on me when I wasn't, you know, going to continue to let them gossip and talk about me and treat me the way that they were. And clients started to turn on me. They were upset. They wanted their money back. They wanted their refunds. And it didn't matter what those policies said that I paid almost $20,000 to a team of very capable business lawyers to write up. And the policy said if you book a reading with me and I can't do your reading for whatever reason, you will be given a credit. So this entire time, I worked so hard to create courses and mini readings, products, and Sundays with Spirit and 7 weeks with Spirit, all these things that they said, listen, if you have enough products and other things that, you know, it would make sense, just like a store. If you went in and said, hey, I bought this shirt, and they said, hey, we offer a credit. You can buy anything else in the store that you want. And there are some small businesses that do have that policy. We don't do refunds, exchanges only. It says it right on the receipt. So that's basically what my receipt said, but that didn't matter because the almost $20,000 in lawyers, I was told by the government was wrong, that my policies were one-sided. And looking back now, I can see why they thought that, but I can also see why myself and these very expensive, knowledgeable lawyers thought she's not a machine. She's not a shirt. It's a human being. She can't control when she gets the flu. She can't control when she's sick. She can't control when her mother dies. She's just at the mercy of life around her. Anyway, I think we're on the much further side of that out. But the hate and the gossip that came from people who thought that they knew everything, and there's a lot of other things in between there. I mean, there was an employee that was stealing from me. There was a lot of things that were happening on the sidelines that I'm not even going to get into here. But what I want you to know is that it literally, you're talking to a person who got their self-worth from other people. So now I had written the story in my mind. I'm bad. I'm worthless. Everybody hates me. I'm a failure. I'm not good enough. I can't help people anymore. And I remember laying in bed thinking, I just don't want to wake up tomorrow morning. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I'm so hated. They hate me so much. And that's what we call psychic attack. So all those people were throwing the energy at me, and I wasn't doing anything to protect myself. I was just curled up in a ball. And I call that the celebrity or the famous person or well, I've lost the word. When you have the mob mentality takedown. When you have a mob mentality takedown, basically you have. Think about all the famous people we know. Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley. You have all those people get to reach such a high level of fame. And you have so many people that they feel like they've let down, their friends, their family, the people that they love, because they were so plugged in. I was so plugged in to not letting people down that when my mom was sick, I never went home. I kept telling myself I had more time. I knew, fucking knew I didn't have any more time. I knew it in my soul, I knew it. But in my soul, I could not miss a reading. And after my mom died, there was an announcement that was made and an email came in. And now I don't have the emails that come directly to my phone. I shouldn't have had it at the time. But again, I didn't have the best team at the time. So I get an email that pops up and it says, well, you know what? You're a medium and your mom died, but no big deal. You can talk to her. Get on the phone with me or get in a reading with me and connect me with my mom. The things that were said to me, the emails that came, the posts that were made, the confrontation, it was the worst time of my life. And it took me to the bottom of the barrel. I reached rock bottom. You know what rock bottom is? When you wake up in the morning and you think, how can I die today? That's rock bottom. How can I get out of this lifetime because I'm ready to pull the pin? I don't want to be here anymore. Because your whole life is built around healing everyone else. So how do I come back? I'm at the lowest point in my life, and the only thing keeping me alive are my children and my husband. I am depressed. I am sad. I am crying all the time, and I don't know what to do. And I start slowly reconnecting with horses. We'd had horses in my life the whole time growing up. And I start going back to riding lessons. And no one, I mean, there are people that knew me at the riding place, but not like knew me. And I start pulling away from the friends that were using me. I stop returning their calls. I stop answering texts. I begin to journal every single day. And I start praying every single day. I start meditating every single day. I start connecting with horses and animals and nature every single day. I start talking positive talk, gratitude prayers. I start saying no, and I start deconstructing my business. I consider bankruptcy. Would have been an easy way out, a really easy way. Sign on the dotted line. Never do another reading, shut the whole thing down, done like dinner. I didn't do it. I wanted those people. I believed in those refunds. I believed in those credits. I believed that if you'd taken a mini reading or if you'd used the credit to take a program or a course or come to something that I was putting on, I believed that spirit would find you, that you would find the path that you were meant to be on, and that it would bring deep cellular healing. I knew it. I created the products. I knew that it could. I knew that they were egoless readings. I knew the miracles that they could bring. I knew the changes that could happen to people. And I couldn't sign on the dotted line because that was the easy way. But what they didn't know, they thought otherwise. They thought that was the hard way. They thought that I was just ignoring them. That's not true. Even in my darkest time, I was still trying to make sure that I could be something to everybody else. And now I'm almost 51 years old, and I'm something to me before I'm something to you. Let me tell you what that means. I nurture myself. I love myself. I give to myself. I'm kind to myself. I compliment myself, and I'm happier now than I've ever been in my entire life. I've moved through a very dark, deep passage of grief. I've moved through this period of time when I was so hell-bent on shaming myself and blaming myself for everything that ever happened. I forgave myself. And I forgave the people who gossiped and attacked me. I turned it off and decided that the most important thing was that it was none of my business what they thought of me, but it was my business what I thought of me. It was my business how I was going to connect with my soul. And you know what? My business was my business, and I was going to find people that I could trust to be a part of it. People that I knew would never steer me wrong. People who I believed had my best interest at heart. And things began to change. And it was slow and it took time and it didn't happen overnight. I am more unapologetically me than I have ever been. I dress the way that I want. I listen to the music that I want. I surround myself with the people that I want. I feel in sync with my life because I slowed everything down almost to a standstill, and I got rid of anything that didn't come from love and light. And that's where you need to start today. What doesn't come from love and light? Write it down. Who in your life doesn't come from love and light? Where can you say no and where can you say yes? Why should you say no and why should you say yes? How many times a day are you praying? How many times a day are you meditating? How many times a day are you convening with your own higher self and the connection to your own inner child? When was the last time you did something that you actually love doing? When was the last time? When was the last time you took your feet off and you felt the grass between your toes? When was the last time you made a snowball? When was the last time you let a puppy lick your nose? When was the last time you looked up at the clouds and saw if there was any shapes in them? When was the last time you noticed a robin landing on your windowsill? Those were all of the things that brought me back again. The now. I stepped away from Facebook. I stepped away from going live. I stepped away from other people's thoughts, feelings, and opinions. And though I did not give up, because I did not, I didn't give up on me. There was a light, and it was very little, that was shining. And every time I thought, nah, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. There's that little voice in me that said, you're a healer. And you can do this. It just needs to be on your terms, in your way, with your light, with your love, with your boundaries, with your respect, and with your grace. And that is exactly what I've done. The gossip and the hate from others, they weren't angry with me because I didn't do their reading. That's not true. They weren't angry with me because they were angry that they didn't probably read the policies that we had written up with the lawyers, but they were more angry with me that I wasn't going to be able to connect them with their loved ones when they wanted me to, how they wanted me to, and when they needed me to. And I was asking them to trust the process. And that, for some of them, was so big because of the pain, because of the suffering, because of the grief. And I get it. I get it, because I had the same thing with my mom. There was a massive metaphorical lesson in there for me, for them, and for everyone that was involved. And so here I am on March 12th, 2023, recording you this lesson and still keeping on. Everything is not perfect. My daughter is battling breast cancer. I am in foreign territory, and I've decided to start a plant hobby because somewhere deep within my soul, I'm convinced that if I can keep plants alive, I can help keep my daughter alive too. It doesn't mean that the life lessons will stop coming. It just means I'm never going to wake up again and not want to be here. For me, and for those I love. I guess the biggest thing I can tell you is I just learned how to surf the wave. And when you get real with yourself and you can ask yourself the really tough questions, you can surf the wave too. Have an amazing week, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.